And I'd like to start in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers is in the Old Testament. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers. And, oh, I forgot. No, dude. And you're a Bible school student, Sandra. And have you counted your blessings lately? Have you counted your blessings lately? And the second question to go along with that is, you know, how do you count your blessings? Well, if you've counted them at all, then how do you count your blessings? Well, I want to read something here and then I want to fiddle with this for a while, and then we're going to pray. But in Numbers chapter 6, starting at verse 22, Moses receives some instructions. And Moses is, you know, Moses is Moses, right? Spiritual leader, priest, pastor, you could say, along with his brother Aaron and their sons, his sons, pastors, leaders, priests. And the Lord says to Moses, he says, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. I have this overwhelming sense this morning that God, our Heavenly Father, has said, I just want to bless my people. And in particular, I want to bless, he said, I want to bless you. You. Us, we here in this place. I just have this sense about me that God, he just wants to bless us. Bless the socks off us this morning. So pray with me. Father, as we read this word, as we're about to say some things along this lines of blessing, that same presence, that same Holy Spirit that we felt drawing near to us and stirring in our hearts as we've worshiped, would continue to stir in our hearts and to enliven, to quicken our minds, how we think, God, that we might engage with this word and hear this word from you today for each of us in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. And so count your blessings. How do you count your blessings? Let's talk about it for a minute. My mother-in-law, when she was alive, and many years ago, would often send me poems. At that time, I wasn't much of a poem guy, and the poems are quite simplistic and little ditties. But this one I kept, and let me read it to you. It says, two girls who spent in the country a day were asked what impressions they carried away. Said one, I'll remember through all my life long a regal white lily, a lark's perfect song. The other cried, frowning, I'll never forget those pestering flies in the dust that we met. You know, they had the same opportunity. One came away with blessing, the other one not so much. You know, the one was able to counter blessing, same experience. And the other didn't do very well in counting her blessings, right? Some of you have heard the song and remember the song. We used to sing it years ago, Count Your Blessings. Yeah. Remember that old song, that old hymn, Count Your Blessings, written in like the late 1800s, Count Your Blessings. That's old. And this is how a couple of the stanzas go. It says, when upon life billows you are tempest tossed, you know, the storms of life, right? And you get seasick. And anybody been out on one of those fishing excursions and getting seasick and they had to hold you by the belt as you're lurched over the ship, puking your brains out? Life can feel like that sometimes, right? Been there? I have. So that's what the imagery you can have in your mind. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them how? One by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And then the refrain, which says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Or an alternative to that is, and it will surprise you. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So count your blessings. Now, there are always things, at least for me, there are always things that I can, you know, there are a lot of things that we can live without. You know, now there are some things, you know, popcorn, Orvin Redenbacher popcorn. I'd hate to think I'd have to live without it, you know. But I think I could live without it, right? But there are a lot of things that we really can't live without. And one of those things that tops the list that we can't live without is God's blessing upon our lives. We need His blessing upon our lives as much as we need the air that our lungs are taking in right now and keeping us alive, oxygenating our blood, pumping through our hearts, supplying us with the proper nutrients and so on that we can live. We can't live without God's blessing. I cannot live without His blessing upon my life. Now, the good news is, as we speak about good news, we mean the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that God has gone all out of His way to bless us, out of His way. And so when I look at the cross, when I look at Calvary, I see God going out of His way to bless us in Jesus. And when it says, as Moses, as it says here in Numbers, so they will put my name on my people, and because my name is there, I will bless them. Think about it. The name that we have been given, that has been given to us, is the name of Jesus. When you pray, pray how? In my name. If you come to the Father and you ask anything in my name, He will do it for you. That there has been a name pronounced over us, the name of Jesus. And because that name has been given to us, pronounced over us, we are a people that God has gone out of His way to make sure we are blessed. We are a people who are blessed. We are a blessed people. Now, so oftentimes when we get dizzy in life, right, it's hard for us to focus on those blessings, let alone count them one by one. So I want us to kind of stop the merry-go-round, as it were, this morning, you know. Let's catch our balance, let alone our breath here, and see some things about the blessing of God and how it is that we are to count our blessings. So God in Jesus has seen to it that we are well blessed. I'd like to look at Ephesians, and I'm going to go through these things quickly before I get to some counting our blessings or counting your blessing tips, because I want us to pray, and to pray for one another. And I just have this sense about me that God wants to bless us. But in Ephesians chapter 1, something really important that we have to see about blessing, about God's blessing in our lives. Count your blessings. And I would say, count your blessings from Ephesians chapter 1. When you count your blessings, how it is that you count your blessings, go here to count your blessings. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. He says, praise God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who has done what? It says, do you see it there? Who has blessed us. We are blessed. His blessing is upon us. I am blessed. He has blessed us. And then he tells us how he has blessed us. And he says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. There's a treasure house of blessing that God has opened to us in Christ for our lives. And then, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 things he mentions as you continue to read in the following paragraphs of just what that blessing, what those spiritual blessings are. And I'm not going to take the time to get into this because this is not an expository sermon, if you will. It's more of an exhortation or a reminder about our spiritual blessings. But look what he says. It says spiritual blessings in Christ. He lists the first one, for he chose us. And he chose us before the world was even created, which is to say, I've been on God's mind for an awfully long time. Now, that's pretty darn special. You talk about a blessing, that God has been thinking about me for a long time. In thinking about me, I wasn't that kid. You know, you remember those kids when you chose upsides? At least I remember those kids when we chose upsides. You take them. No, you take them. No, you take them. You know, I don't ever remember being that kind of kid because I was a fighter. And I wouldn't let that happen. But I remember those kids. You know, they weren't all that well, but they're there. They want to play. So, okay. They really don't get chosen. They just get put on a side, you know. And it's like, no, 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 no. He chose me. Here's the first spiritual blessing. God chose you. He chose you. And he chose us, and at the end in mind is to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. That God has, and as we go on here to read, look what he says here on verse 11. I'm not going to list them all here, but it says, again, he chose us, predestinated us, which according to the plan. That God has a good plan. He's a good God, and he has a good plan. That he has prearranged for my life to conform to his purpose. God's original intention for me. He has good stuff in mind. Just to mention one more, look what it says here in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's a big blessing. That's a big blessing. That my sins are covered. He's got them covered. That he is able, in spite of what I am, in spite of what I've done, he's able in Christ to see me other than I am. He's able to see me like he has made me to be in Christ. That's a big blessing. That's huge. If only other people can get that, you know. If only other people can get that. And so we see this counter blessings. Count your blessings from the passage that I opened up with this morning that I read from Psalm 103. You know, where he says, and don't forget all of his benefits. Those are his, don't forget his blessings. And the first one that he mentions there, right, in Psalm 103 that we read, he forgives all of our sins. Every sin. God, there is not one sin that he isn't able to forgive. There is not one sin that Calvary's cross doesn't take care of in your life and in mine. And that's a blessing. That's how he's blessed us. And he lists there the things. When I'm sick, I can go to him for healing. I can go to him. He lifts me up out of the pits. He brings me out of the doldrums. He does something in my life. Count your blessings. But how do we count them? You know, how do you count your blessings? Are you like, you know, are you like the gal who, you know, all she was bothered by were the pesky flies and how dusty the trail was and what the dust did to her makeup, whatever, I don't know. You know. And life has a way of doing that to us, doesn't it, in regards to our blessings. But, oh, to count our blessings. And let me just mention a couple of tips, count your blessing tips this morning, okay? Here's the first one. To count your blessings, you got to look for them sometimes. As I said, you got to look for them, you know. I'll tell you, there have been times where I've done this, you know, and it's like, Sandra, have you seen my glasses? You know, like, you see, I put my glasses down somewhere. I can't seem to find them. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, you know. Oh, here they are. And we all have a tendency to overlook the obvious in our lives. And again, life is such, you know, the stuff that life is made out of, that it's hard sometimes to get our bearings, to get our focus. You know, and oh dear, I just spilled my water. Well, the water of the word, right? Okay, good. So we'll continue with that. And one of the things that you know, when you look, one of the good ways to take stock or to look at your blessings is to do just what the song says: count them. You know, count them. Make a list. Start making a list, counting your blessings. You know? And one of the things that I see is what I mean to say also by look for God's blessing and count them as you're looking for them, is that sometimes we can turn it off and we could turn it on. We could turn on God's blessing in our lives and we could turn off God's blessing in our lives. Did you know that? In Luke chapter 6, for instance, where Jesus is teaching about giving, and he says, give, and it what? Shall be given unto you. That's turning it on. Turning it off is what? Don't give, and you don't get much back. That's turning it off. So give, and it shall be given unto you. Then he says this. You know, I'm addicted to Wise potato chips. And, you know, I go to the store and I buy a bag of Wise potato chips. And the bag is this big, and the potato chips in there are about like this. Right? You know what I'm saying? And you read on the package, you know, they don't want you to sue the company, you know, sue Wise Potato Chips. They say, you know, due to processing, whatever, you know, they went in full, but because of settling, right? And there's other things that we buy like that. You know, after a while, the things settle, and instead of it filling the package out, it's down there like this. In Luke, when he says that, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, you could read it there. He says, given it shall be given unto you. He says, good measure, it's full, pressed down, shaken together, and watch. Not settled till you just get a little bit, but he says, and running, what? And running over. Now that's blessing. That's blessing. So we could turn it on and we could turn it off. We turn it on by giving. And giving in more than just monetary ways, but giving. And then, you know, I like to tie that into what he says in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, he says there about giving again. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And I just want to read it because, this isn't about giving or giving money to the church. This isn't about that, this message. This is about blessing. And so the emphasis here is on that, but you could turn it on and you could turn it off. And if you turn it on, this is what he says. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. He says, test me. He says, go ahead and see if this works. See if this will work in your life. Turn it on. He says, go ahead, just try turning this on and see what comes out. And I like what he says. And he says, see if I will not, I love the words here, throw open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, how would you like your testimony to be, I am so blessed by God, there just isn't enough room to contain this blessing? That's a good testimony. Yeah, you could turn it on. There it is. So the first, look for it. Look for his blessing. Count your blessing. The second tip is this. Place a higher value on spiritual blessings. What is it? I said to my kids a while ago, stop having kids because the chances are if they come to this church, if one of them, if a kid acts out, the chances are more that it's one of my grandkids. Anyways, what did I say? Oh, yeah. Place a higher value on spiritual blessings. You know, when we look at blessings, you know, we're so quick to go to, you know, something outward, something in our lives. And granted, they count. And those things are to be enumerated in our blessings. I'm grateful for my iPhone that I can have email at my disposal, you know. I'm grateful that I have my iPhone, that I can keep it in my pocket, and that I don't have to run to the wall to pick up the receiver when the phone rings. Remember those days? No, I'm exaggerating, of course, but there's so many things to be thankful for in counting our blessings, but none so valuable as our spiritual blessings. And this is what he tells us in Ephesians. You know, the spiritual blessing, I think that sometimes we don't know their value simply because we don't count them, we don't put them in the equation of blessing in our lives adequately enough. We don't put them in their proper place in our lives. That he has forgiven me of my sins. You know, it's big. And so put a higher value on spiritual blessings than any other kind of blessing that you come to in your life. The next one is this. Live in God's blessing. Live in God's blessing in your life. Now, this is what I mean to say by this. Okay? I'm going to say it in a particular way, and then I'll help us to understand it. What I mean by that is this. To live in God's blessing is to live in contempt of your circumstances, good or bad, in comparison to God's blessing in your life. So oftentimes we are what? We are prone to say, if things are going well in our lives, right? Got my health, right? Got money in the bank, or at least if I open up my wallet, I got a gift card to Starbucks. Life is good, right? Man, am I what? Blessed. You know, everything's going smoothly, got my job, all this stuff. Just let any one of those things, the plug be pulled on it. Lose your job, you get sick, right? You can't go to Starbucks. Thank you. And so life becomes what? Boy, no blessing in my life. Wrong. We have to live in contempt sometimes. We have to disregard the circumstances, good or bad, especially bad in our lives, when it comes to his blessing in our lives. That, you know, it's like, okay, something bad happens. I leave here, my car's, well, you know, we're not in the city of Waterbury, so the chances of this happening aren't that good. But I walk out of here, my car's up, jacked up on blocks, and the four wheels are missing. Somebody needed, you know, whatever they are, PF1, I don't, whatever. They needed, you know, they took them. And it's like, oh, man, there goes life. Life sucks. You know? And the reality is, though, I walk out and I face these things, and I have to stop and I have to, you know what? My tires are gone, but my name hasn't been erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ has touched my life. I have received him by faith, and he is in my life. And there's my name written right there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you could apply that across the board. And then the last one, the last tip that I have, and we're going to pray now, but the last one is this. Pass on the blessing. Pass it on. For heaven's sake, be a blessing. Be a blessing to someone. You know, pass it on. Pass on the blessing. This is big. You see, this is big because it's easy for me to bless when someone blesses me. But you let someone curse me, and I'm not so prepared to bless in return when it comes to cursing. And curses happen in so many different ways in our lives. You know, someone offends us. Someone doesn't do something that we, you know, somebody does something we dislike. So many things. And over and over again, we find this in the New Testament where he says, bless and curse not. But be a blessing. That and I'll tell you what, I think that our lives grow in this way, that being a blessing to other people becomes easier when we are focused, when we are counting our blessings. Yeah. See how blessed I am. And so that everything, that and everyone I touched, you know, one of, you know, the desire in my own life, and, you know, I have a lot of life to live yet to get there because I'm far from there, but I never want to be in a situation where I'm there and that I'm not there, and the people who were there when I was there, you got that? They say, thank God he's gone. You know? Well, that only goes to show you I wasn't much of a blessing. You know? But to live my life in such a way that when I'm not around, people say, boy, you know, there's something missing. There's something, boy, you know, there's an added blessing that we're just not feeling. So be a blessing. How can I be a blessing? You've all heard it said, right? You can be what? You can be a part of the solution or a part of the problem. Right? And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at being a part of the problem. You want a problem, just call me, you know? You think you got problems, you know? And God has to help us to see that he wants us to put us into situations and use our lives where we are a blessing. Where we're a blessing. We're a blessing to other people. And so this morning, if I could have some, I'm going to bless God's people traveling music. I would play and talk at the same time, but I don't want to be distracted. And so you've been sitting here patiently through this service. And I know that it's I'll wait till she starts playing. You're such a blessing. I believe that Jamie's exhortation was no less than prophetic to us this morning. God wanting to encourage us, say something to us. I want us to capture this intent of the Holy Spirit with us now, that, you know, you've been feeling something in your own heart, in your own life, in regards to those things that, you know, change in your own life. I believe God wants to bless you this morning. Wants to bless your life. I've said this before and I say it again. I have never once in my 45 years of serving Jesus, not once, ever felt God straight arm me. Never. Never. And there have been times when I would have straight armed me. Rulowitz, you jerk. I've beat myself up before. And I have never, ever felt that way. Never once. Coming before Jesus, never. I've never gotten the hand. Always the opposite. Always the opposite. Because he's pretty good at blessing. Not to suggest that he sweeps anything under the carpet. He doesn't have to. He shed his blood to cleanse it, to do a thorough cleaning. And I also believe that as the service went on, as we were talking about the power of God, there is power in the name of Jesus. That these things in our lives and what we feel and about ourselves, you know, things that we feel about ourselves, you know, the quiet lives of desperation that we sometimes live, more often than not live. Feeling so far away where we should be, where we ought to be, and yet we're not there. And the tension of that. And it's like Jesus says, I got it. If you just come to me and let me bless your life, I got it. And so this morning, I want to do what that scripture says. I want to do what it says. I believe that God has given me the power to bless. Now, I'm not saying anything, you know, weird, okay? Like, I have these special powers. You know, if I opened up this shirt, you'd see a big what? You know? Yeah, shut up. Not at all, you know, but at the same time, I believe that, the power to bless. And I believe that God wants it, however it would come in your life, wherever you're at. So this is what I want to do this morning. I want to have an altar call. You know, we haven't had an altar call in a long time. We haven't. And it's like, well, you know, you don't want to, you know, new people or visitors or people who don't know about praying or this, that, you don't want to make them uncomfortable. For heaven's sake, who cares about that? Jesus said, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. And if this is anything, this is a house of prayer. When God people come together, what do? We pray. My introduction to church was, I was a bad Catholic boy. And when I went to the church the first time, they gave an altar call. I went forward. I didn't even know what I was doing. Why am I going forward? Why does he want me to come up there? My life changed. Altar call. So I want to pray, extend to you an invitation to come. Make an altar. You can make an altar at your seat. You can get on your knees there if you're able to get on your knees. I know some of you can't. I won't mention any names. Cliff? No, I don't know. He's had, what, 3 knees replaced? But to pray, and the idea is to receive blessing. You know, to receive blessing. And however it is that you felt the Lord speaking to you through the service, be set free from something, whatever, but be blessed. Be blessed. And maybe you could put those words up. Are you playing that? 1,000 reasons? Huh? 10,000 reasons? Is that it? 10,000 reasons? Is that a good song to be playing right now? Yeah, why not? 10,000 reasons? If he can, it's how to find it. And Sandra will help us sing it here in a minute. Let me pray. Father, here we are at this time right now. Before we say amen and go off to our Sunday afternoon stuff, that we take a moment to allow ourselves to be blessed by our God. So Jesus, I have felt in my heart today you saying, we've already felt it, that you want to bless your people, that you're about blessing, that so oftentimes you take a bad rap because of all the things we face in life that kind of mess with us, and how we throw that on you and say, God, why are you messing with us? When you're saying to us, I'm not messing with you, that's life. And in all of your mess, I want to bless you. So God, today, in all this mess that we feel in our own lives or wherever we're at, maybe we're at a good place right now, but that we would yet feel blessed by our God. And so here it is, Lord, my prayer for your people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.